It was the year of 1673 when the woods along the great Mississippi River heard a sound they had never heard before. The white man had come to Iowa.
Kaskaseka.
Welcome to an encore performance of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tooling on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, Clyde Stubblefield on drums, Chris Mertz on sax, with Jim Packard announcing. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. In this hour of What Do You Know, all the Iowa news that isn't, Michael gets up close and personal with Jude, the Komodo dragon, and musician Jim Post takes us down the Laughing River.
Now, certainly not the first canned ham they've had in Dubuque, Michael Feldman.
Hello, Dubuque. How are you? Thank you for having us. Great to see you. Thanks for having us down, or across, actually. Down and across.
Down and across.
Yeah, go down and across to get here. It's, of course, Dubuque is the southwesternmost point in Wisconsin. Only separated by the mighty Mississippi, ladies and gentlemen, between us. All part of Greater Platteville. John's neck of the woods, Greater Platteville. Of course, they put the casino right at the end of the Wisconsin Bridge. That goes without saying. So you head back to Dickeyville without one, you know. But we came in, we headed straight for the River Museum, and Clyde headed straight for the casino. So it's conveniently located adjacently. Very nice. Perfect for family vacations, you know. You got the kids get the River Museum, the parents get the casino. Excellent planning. Amazing exhibits at the River Museum, I must say. I had no idea there were Komodo dragons in the Mississippi. And I'll give you a hint, we're going to have one here today.
Right on stage.
Yeah, they caught them earlier in the week. And on light tackle, too. It was just
6-pound test.
Oh, yeah. They go for those mayflies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They love mayflies.
Yeah. Well, you don't call them mayflies, do you? Fish flies. Okay. All righty. We were going to take the elevator, you know, that was on our itinerary for things to do, but Jim said once they get you in there, they charge, it's free to get on, but they charge you $1 to get off. So we decided against it. We had a little trouble getting a hotel because the dock dogs are in town. It's a huge event, the dock dogs.
Yep.
Yeah, they're everywhere. They booked the Grand Harbor and the Hilton Gardens. It's filled with dock dogs, actually. And they're lined up paw to paw at the slots at the Mystique. Everywhere is dock dogs. Or all the Victorian B&Bs are booked for same-sex events. Especially the Hancock. And there is... So, but the Hamptons, very nice.
It's very busy.
We're happy there. Vending on every floor, ladies and gentlemen, at the Hamptons. And in all the Dubuque and Iowa news that isn't, the Dubuque stimulus package, $1 beers and $1 wines at the Dollar Dish. The University of Dubuque to use the $30 million bequest for $30 million dishes. The Loras Duhawks beat the Dubuque Spartans in the Dubuque Bowl. Presbyterians must leave town. That's just the way it goes every year. Sometimes the Catholics leave, sometimes it's the Presbyterians. And for many, the Dubuque Bowl is the first Catholic or Presbyterian they see in their young lives. It's quite an event. Homecoming at Wartburg going on this weekend. That's a pretty exciting event. No dance at the seminary, I guess, but... Tonight, free time in Dubuque, ladies and gentlemen. That's on the agenda. More likely East Dubuque. for a little intense sharing and reflection. But watch out for the OWIs, guys. You know, operating while Iowan. Just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. You can get a deferment from that, though. That's the good news. In other news, the tri-state area is rebranded as the Axis of Iowa. A little catchier. Iowa license plates are going to be reversed now. They're going to put the Des Moines skyline in the foreground and the pig farm hovering overhead. A little more accurate. The highway barrier cables mistakenly placed across instead of alongside the interstate. That was another Culver idea. He's made a few slip-ups. He'll be the first to admit it. Those barriers are supposed to go alongside Jim, not across the lanes.
Parallel to
them. Not across the lanes, is what I meant to say. Sarah Palin comes to Iowa to put lipstick on a pig. And I'll tell you, are there any candidates coming? Plenty. Okay, all right. You try this. You think it's so easy? There are epithets flying in the governor's race. Why don't they flame one another on Facebook like real men, ladies and gentlemen? Culver's culture of corruption is going to be tough to beat, you know. Perhaps Branstad's bazaar of buffoonery? 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 I don't know. Have to work on that, I guess. Branstad accuses Culver of having been made from stem cells. And Branstad said he would cut the budget by 50% by exiling all the Democrats across the Mississippi. And it becomes Illinois' problem. It'd be the tri-state diaspora. Criticized for his flood relief efforts, Culver notes Iowa's underwater for 3 out of 4 of Branstad's terms. In the Senate rate, Grassley says Conlin's attack ads, quote, suck teat. Conlin takes it personally. And still other news, most of the jobs on the Fort Madison, I can't read this now because I have tears in my eyes. I don't know why, I'm just crying. Most of the jobs on the Fort Madison prison go to Illinoisians, but so do most of the cells. So it's fair. Two same-sex Iowa judges marry. They're revamping the greyhound racing. They're going to use squirrel monkeys as jockeys. They were going to try pig racing instead of, you know, but they only pay off in Oreos, so it's not a big attraction. Or how about camel racing would be a good thing here, because then you can defend it on cultural grounds. Hey, it's cultural. That's like goat's head polo. You know, it's cultural. That's how we do it. Retired greyhounds don't make great pets, but out the gate, and they're gone. You know, that's especially if you happen to have a mechanical rabbit at home. You know, just they don't. It's not good. In other news, ethanol levels in gas to go to 100%, and they throw in a case of Orville Redenbacher's. Thank you. I don't know where you are, but thank you, and come back again. The price of corn has gone so high now, farmers are turning to caviar for feed. At the polls, Iowans will have a chance to vote yes for an unfunded conservation fund or no for an unfunded unfund. Yeah, I know, John. She sent him a John Deere letter. I got that one. Worked that one in there. Non-resident hunters to be allowed to shoot non-resident deer. Watch out, because muzzle loader season begins today, so keep an eye out for Civil War reenactors. And there's more than you think, you know. The governor's one Iowa cut back to one half Iowa. Okay, I'll take it out. Thought I'd get a bigger laugh than that. The governor does not appear to have one unlimited future, however, that's. Voters want a change in the form, of course, of a 5-term governor. Nothing like change. If churches manage to remove three Supreme Court justices, the court vows to remove three senior pastors of their choosing. Loras College buys Cox Street despite the separation of church and street. And finally, and I mean that sincerely, figures show most Iowa same-sex marriages are bachelor Norwegian farmers from Minnesota. Woe be gone no more, ladies and gentlemen. That's all of Dubuque and Iowa news. That is it. Thank you so much. Then I see where the Mongolian grill shut down, the Hi-Ho.
The Dubuque restaurant.
Yeah, but now it's they replaced it with the Ho-Hi. I think this is a family dispute, the Mongolian family there. You know, because it's a very similar name.
Very similar, yep.
It's like Fleet Farm and Farm and Fleet, you know, they got an old family thing there. Or the Bright Box. What is it? There's two Bright Box places, and you can't find the one, you find the other, you know. Okay. Well, this is, you know, one of the greatest attractions here in Dubuque is this river museum and aquarium. It's a national museum it's a fantastic museum. We went there. This is a museum where you go and you actually stay. Some people actually never leave the museum. It's that fascinating. And they've got river boats and they've got animals. And they have native wildlife of the Mississippi region. And we've got, you know, can we bring, we got here John Sutter from the museum out, who's going to explain to us exactly some of the attractions that they have at the museum, which we happen to have here in the theater with us today. In the Five Flags, by the way, this beautiful Five Flags Theater, which is a classic theater. Sarah Bernhardt played here. And Al Jolson. I'm following Al Jolson. Pretty excited about that. It's been a while. It's been a lapse there since we did. John, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. This museum has really drawn a lot of national attention. It's a
Yeah, we're the National Mississippi River Museum and Aquarium,
yep, right.
And we've drawn visitors from all 50 states, over 70 foreign countries, and every continent on the globe.
Right.
We've had a visitor give a presentation.
You've had people from Tasmania?
Yes, and we've had people from Antarctica as well.
You've had people from Antarctica?
Yeah.
Can I see the names?
Sure.
You've had people from Antarctica.
Yeah,
now, come
Troy
on.
Hinkles. Troy Hinkles is a native Dubuquer.
Troy Hinkles is from Antarctica?
He spent 18 months in Antarctica, so we count it.
All right. You win that one. Why don't you run for governor? I think you could do well in any back and forth along those lines. And you have a lot of, there's an aquarium and there's the museum.
It's a museum and aquarium, and we explore all 2,552 miles of the Mississippi. Not just the part that comes past Iowa and Wisconsin, but from Lake Itasca to the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah.
And with our expansion now, our Rivers to the Sea exhibit, we also talk about how rivers affect oceans. So we're really trying to teach people about the culture and the natural habitat of the rivers and how they affect the world through our oceans.
And this has been going on for...
7 years.
7 years now, And it's been expanded. It's a campus.
Yeah, it's a 10-acre campus now. Two major buildings. One is the Mississippi River Center and one is the National River Center. We have a dozen aquariums as well as cultural exhibits. We have 5 movie theaters, including a 3D, 4D movie theater. And we really try to touch on every aspect of the Mississippi.
Including Komodo dragons.
Including Komodo dragons. The Komodo dragon is here as part of our Lizards on the Loose exhibit. So occasionally
is it on the loose? Because I really,
it's on the loose
I
right
hear
now.
They
yeah.
are, you know, if they bite you, you have no hope.
They have a lot of bacteria in their mouth.
Yeah.
So you will wish you were dead.
Wish you were dead. But you won't be.
You won't be.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
And you have one here?
We have one here, yeah. Lee Jackson is here. He's our animal curator.
You have the Komodo? Oh.
Well, we're going to bring out the alligator
first. Oh, the alligator first? Okay.
Yeah, the American
alligator. Can you drop
the
alligator and bring out the Komodo dragon? toss that to Michelle. This is the alligator.
This is one of our alligators, yep.
Is this found on the Mississippi?
This is found on the southern Mississippi in the bayou.
Bring a little closer.
They are freshwater animals.
No, not that close. She's a very attractive alligator.
Yeah, very beautiful. If you want to touch her, she's really, or he, he's really soft.
He doesn't mind. Does this thing ever flip?
It may, yeah. But they are found in the southern Mississippi area, in Louisiana, especially in Florida. They mostly are freshwater animals, but can be found in some brackish water areas.
Yeah. This one's very clean.
Very clean alligator. Yeah.
Probably wouldn't appreciate being brackish at this point.
Maybe not. Yeah.
Yeah. Was this raised in captivity? Or?
Yes, this one's 6 years old.
6 years old, yeah.
6 years old, getting quite long. We decided backstage she's about a Feldman long.
One Feldman long, okay. Okay. But she's growing, that's the difference.
She's growing.
Yeah. Feldman is shrinking, we know that. Okay, that's very nice, okay.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Lee.
I got nothing more to say to it. It's a very nice looking.
Appreciate it.
Now, those would be found in the Louisiana.
Yeah, found in the Mississippi, southern, in the swamps.
Did they get ever as high as Iowa?
No. It's too cold here.
Too cold here?
Yep.
Even in the Pleistocene era? What about the Mesozoic? I mean, wasn't it a sea?
They are a very ancient creature. Yeah. They're like living dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so okay. It's possible.
Good, you covered your bases very well on that. This is the Komodo dragon. Now,
this is
not
Jude.
Found around here. This thing scares me.
Jude is a Komodo dragon. She's on loan to us from the San Antonio Zoo.
Yeah.
And
bring her up front here so people can
sure.
see her.
The Komodos are from western Indonesia and the island of Komodo. And Jude is 3 years old.
Hi, Jude.
These animals. Jude will grow to.
Don't make it bad.
Jude could grow to 150 pounds and between 7 and 10 feet long.
Wow. So this is just a baby.
Yeah. She's about 3 years old. And we're still finding out a lot about Komodo dragons. And one of the things we recently found out is that they have a venom.
Oh.
So they have a venomous bite.
When did you find that out? I wonder. Where did their venom, are they fangs like venom?
No, it's in the lower jaw. And it comes up through several pores around the teeth.
So it's not bad enough they have every vicious bacteria known to man in their mouths. They have venom as well. Isn't that overkill?
Overkill is what they need.
What are they, you know, and so what are they killing that they need all that just from their bite?
One of their main prey items is water buffalo and deer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they'll attack things 400 or 500 times their weight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So... I'm probably only twice its weight. So maybe we ought to say goodbye right now to Jude. Or Jim, did you want to see it?
No, but I noticed the way he was looking at you.
Yeah. One Jude to another. That's okay. All right. Thank you. I always wanted to see one. Thank you for it. Have you had any incidents with Jude as far as...
No, our staff takes very good care of her.
Yeah.
We take her for walks every morning.
Wouldn't you tend to muzzle something like that, though? I'm not telling you your business, but...
No, they don't.
They don't.
We got her on a leash, and she's very calm. She's been in captivity her entire life, so she's always had human contact, and very calm, responds to her name.
Wow, yeah, very, very... Yeah. An attractive Komodo dragon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Don't want to get on her bad side. Now, what do you got here? This is a snake of some sort.
This is a bull snake.
Bull snake.
And this bull snake is actually a native Dubuquer.
It is? This is from around here.
Yeah, found in someone's front yard.
Really?
Yep.
Truly?
Yes.
Whose front yard was it? Not the guy from Antarctica again.
No, probably not. Yeah, this is... You want to hold her?
No. Johnny Carson did that. I don't do that. What do I do?
You'll find out she's not slimy and heavier than she looks.
Okay.
And that's all muscle.
Hi, Derek.
Whoa!
She's saying hello.
She's saying hi.
That's a good sign. She's comfortable with you and looking for warmth.
Sign. Yeah. I have to change my pants. It's a really beautiful snake, actually.
Yeah, it's really
a bull
pretty.
Snake. The bull snake is native to this area?
Yep, native to this area. And
I didn't know that snake's this big.
Oh, yeah.
This close to where I live.
Yeah. Well, we did you a favor and left the timber rattler at home.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And the bull snake would feed on?
Rats.
Rodents, gophers, small mammals.
Okay, everything that we really need.
Yeah.
Good. Excellent. Thank you very much. Wow, that's really cool. Oh, man. It makes you appreciate. I mean, reptiles are really a different form of animal. You know, we're used to mammals.
Yeah, because we can pet them and they're furry and cute.
Yeah, and they, you know, we have a lot in common with mammals. We are mammals, I guess, pretty much. You know, and so, but the reptiles are like a whole different, and they're really kind of amazing.
Yeah, they're amazing creatures and they're beautiful. And the more I learn about them, I'm just fascinated with all the adaptations they can do and changing their colors and changing their shape and their defense and their mating culture. It's fascinating.
Let's hear about that.
They
Komodos, when they mate, that's got to be something.
Yeah, I bet that's kind of scary.
Yeah. I mean, one love bite and you're out of it.
You're done. Yeah,
have you seen them mate? Or?
No, but there are some lizards that will actually change their color to attract a mate and use ultraviolet light.
All right, I gave the Antarctica one. Yeah, someone came from Antarctica to the museum, but they use ultraviolet light.
Yeah, they see an ultraviolet light so that they
Where do they get ultraviolet light?
They sense it through their eyes. They see the ultraviolet coming
Yes,
part of the spectrum, so they can see different colors on the lizards that we can't see. So they can still camouflage themselves and attract a mate using those colors.
So the ones that send out good ultraviolet are the more attractive
good vibes, right?
Males.
Mm-hmm.
To the females.
Right.
Well, that's interesting. Is that true of the Komodos as well?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Okay. That's interesting. Well, I want to thank you for bringing this down here. And just we wanted mainly people to get an idea to come down here and see this River Museum, because it's a fantastic thing to have here in Dubuque. And it's sort of at the head of the Mississippi River, but it reflects the entire
length. Yeah, and we feel this is the most beautiful place in the world to see the Mississippi River.
Yeah.
So,
Thanks very much, John Sutter, from the River Museum here in Dubuque. Thanks.
Thank
John.
You.
And thank you for bringing all that in. Thanks to Lee, too. Lee Jackson, the reptile wrangler. Whoa. I like to see, they have a catfish down there that's pretty big.
Huge.
I'd like to see the Komodo and the catfish get along. I wonder if they could take out a water buffalo. But could they take out a channel catfish?
Those catfish are huge.
Yeah. That was a pretty big one. Karen Cusack is here from Bellevue, Iowa. I work at Our Lady of the Mississippi Abbey, where the nuns make the caramels. Caramels. Did you say caramels or caramels?
Caramels.
I know in Iowa it's different than the rest of the world. Caramels? Caramels. I brought you some. Thank you so much, because the other Abbey, you get a casket. So this is, caramels are much nicer than just receiving a casket, because you don't quite know how to take that. So thank you very much. Where is Karen? Oh, thank you very much. Are you a nun then? Oh, you're not? They have civilians there as well?
A few civilians, yeah. I'm just an employee.
Are you in the caramel division?
This time of the year, everybody is in the caramel division. Yeah.
You're cranking them out, huh?
Yeah.
Are you going to pass these around here? Yeah. I got mine. I'm taking mine back. I put it in my bag so Clyde wouldn't get it. Because he steals.
Yes, he does.
He steals. But thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
My pleasure. But, if you want to pass those around, that's totally fine. Have some caramels. Although, do you know the other one? Anyone at the other Abbey? Could I get a casket, possibly? They're really quite nice, and they're fairly pricey. You know, if you have like a not much you casket would be really something. They probably could do that. I know they could do that. Let's see here now. Sculpture installation. Rob Mays is in sculpture installation. Did you put up the American Gothic?
Yes.
You did? Come on down here, Rob. Right now, if you come down here in Dubuque, come on over here, Rob. Come on. Oh, come on. Don't be so self-effacing. And he's almost as tall as the statues out there. Unbelievable. So that was pretty easy for you to do, something that size, huh?
Yes.
They're just 25 feet tall, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're really, we took our pictures by them out there.
Good. Good.
I'm glad you did.
Me and Jim, they thought we were like a same-sex couple, but it was cool. I bet a lot, you know, that'll be part of the ceremony for a lot of people. Yeah.
I had a lot of help.
Yeah. Where did this come from, this statue?
New Jersey. Actually, it came from the fairgrounds in Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah, from the Indiana State Fair?
It's traveling around.
Yeah, it's quite a remarkable thing there.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
it's very nice. And if you go online, you can see them setting it up.
Yeah, the Benny Hill Show.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. So by all means, if you are in the area or if you haven't seen it, have you seen it yet?
No, I haven't seen it.
Well, you got to go down there and see it. It's the American Eagle, the farmer and his, whoever she is.
Sister.
Huh?
It was his sister.
Sister?
Yeah, Grant Wood. Her daughter, I'm sorry. Something like
Grant
that.
Grant Wood's daughter.
I'm confused.
But what was she doing with this farmer is the question.
You better ask somebody.
There's a story there. There's a story there. We don't know what it is, but it looks, it's great. It's a great addition to the city.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Nice to meet you.
Okay. Nice to meet you.
Command erected that, Jim. How many people have tickets to the pro wrestling show here tonight? Oh, you do? Yeah?
Yep.
Who's wrestling?
TNA Wrestling's coming to debut.
Yeah, well, like who, for instance?
Chris Jericho's going to be here.
Chris Jericho?
Beer Money Incorporated.
Beer Money Incorporated.
A lot of the stars from TNA.
You're going to be here?
I'll be here.
Same place, probably.
It's on the other side, I think.
Oh, it's on the other side.
Yeah.
There's another side?
There's an auditorium on the other side, too.
Oh, we got the small hall.
Yeah.
Wrestling gets the big hall.
Right.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Your name is?
Randy.
Thanks, Randy. Appreciate that. Oh, yeah. That's what it says here. Randy. Is that you? Ludowitz? Ludowitz. Randy Ludowitz. We'll be out of here in time for the 1:30 wedding, Connie. You got a 1:30 wedding, Connie? Is it in town?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay. So you should be able to, I think. We'll get you out of here as quickly as possible. If you see Connie, would you please not get in her way when she's dashing out the... Are you in the wedding itself? Okay, so you can just slip in there, even if it's in the latter stages.
Godchild.
Oh, your godchild. Okay, you better get there pretty quick. You can leave during anything Jim is doing. Okay, we'll get you there. Will you say hi to Cersei in Kansas for me? Sarah Burley. Sarah, can you just pick up a phone, possibly, and... Or will that do? I mean, is that enough? Just to, huh? Yeah, she's not even here. I don't know why I say hello to her. She's not even here. We're Paul and Linda Gavin, parents of Ryan Gavin, and he still has a girlfriend. I know there's a story behind this, and I might even be involved, but I don't remember exactly. Did I get him a girlfriend? Did I fix him up or something? Or what was it? I tried.
You tried, unsuccessfully.
Oh,
he did it on his own.
Best way.
Well, he was on your show once a couple years ago, and then a second time saying he still didn't have a girlfriend, and then about 6 or 8 months ago he was on again with his girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
And you interviewed both of them.
Oh, all right.
And they're still together.
They're still together. They're not here, I know.
No, they're in Madison.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, he lives in Madison.
We sold him tickets to your show in Madison.
Well, excellent. I'm glad that all worked out. Is it working out pretty nicely?
Very pretty nice. Yeah.
Are they serious?
I don't know. We'll know when.
Ask him.
We'll know. I always say we'll know when she tells him.
Okay. I feel we haven't heard the last of this Ryan Gavin episode.
No, okay. No.
All right. Well, thank you, Gavins. Very nice to have you here. How are we doing time wise, Jim?
We could go into the quiz, Mike.
Well, just one more here, guys. Beth McDougal from Cedar Rapids is here. She says she's a stay at home mom, and says I drank beer and got a medal for it last night, and that's pretty special. Where is Beth? And huh? You're back. Where? Oh, Beth. I can't get you in time. What was the event, though, Beth?
It was a fundraiser for the National Czech and Slovak Museum.
Fundraiser for the National
Czech and Slovak Museum.
For the National Czech and Polak Museum. That's what you said, wasn't it, Gavin? That doesn't sound right to me. Would you care to retract that?
No. I'm Irish. I don't know.
Slovak. Oh, wonderful. So, and you drank beer. Was it the number of beers that won the medal for you? Or?
It was
Oh, you're wearing the medal up there. Next time, don't sit in the balcony, dear. Show off that medal. Nice to meet you, though. Okay, well, you know, we got to go right here to the What Do You Know quiz, because this is a chance for you to win fabulous prizes simply for being fabulous. Before we can do that, we have to know who can and cannot participate in the quiz. Can I get you to come down here, dear? Or any way you can do it is fine. As to the four disclaimers, this is legally we're required to say this. And you are?
Frida.
Frida. And Frida, you want to hold this? And
I'll hold it.
The whole thing yourself.
Okay. The four disclaimers. All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Number two, my license plate only works when the numbers come first. Number three, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones, trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. Number four, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Let's see the hands of those who want to try the math quiz. Chance for you to win some really fabulous prizes. And we're on the road, the prizes get even better. You know, I don't know what it is, but we get some. I was thinking that too. I was thinking that too, because young people are the future of this country. Therefore, you are the future of this country. It's a big responsibility.
I can do that.
What are you going to do with it now that it's your country?
I don't know.
And you? Okay, you are?
Christine Augsburger.
Christine, are you in school now?
Yeah, I go to the University of Iowa.
University of Iowa. A Spartan. Fighting Spartan. Right, Christine?
Go Hawks.
Huh?
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks, yes. That one. How are you? One good reason you should play this quiz.
Because I promised my friends that they would have fun listening if I played.
Promised your friends. It's a weak argument, but we're going to take it. Come on, Christy. Come on down here. Go Hawks. University of Iowa. All right. You got a pretty good team this year, too, don't you? Yeah. Have a seat there.
What's that, Mike?
Did we lose to Iowa yet?
No.
Okay.
That's next week.
I just want to know how I feel.
Couple
next week?
Weeks.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Happening next week.
Don't well, we got Ohio State this week, so that's not going to be so bad on the rebound. Okay. All righty. Christine. So what's your major then, Christine? Hey, pull in there if you would, dear. Good.
I am a music major. I'm a percussionist.
You're a percussionist. Yeah. Well, then you must know Clyde Stubblefield.
Not yet.
Let's keep it that way, shall we? Percussionist. So then what do you percuss? What's your percussion?
Kind of a little bit of everything. My preference is the marimba, though.
Oh, you're a marimba type, yeah?
I just got one, actually, this summer.
Your first marimba?
Thanks, Mom and Dad.
Yeah. Where does one get a marimba around here?
You generally order them from, like, a music supply. So.
Uh-huh. There's not. You can't get them in Cedar Falls or Cedar Rapids or...
Actually, the...
Waterloo?
One of the major
is there a marimba
providers.
Shop in Waterloo?
I wish. One of the major providers has a warehouse in Iowa City. So
yeah.
It's pretty easy to order stuff.
Now, so when you are, like, your percussion major, then, mm-hmm. is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Do you have to take, like, math and physics and all that stuff?
You still have to do gen eds, but...
Gen eds?
So I had, general education courses.
Oh, you do. So you got to take all that stuff, too.
Just a few.
Just a few, yeah. Okay. And then can you go to graduate school in marimba?
Percussion, yeah.
In percussion?
Yeah.
And where does one do that?
Wherever there's a program.
Yeah, like...
there's a program, a couple in Iowa.
Jamaica, probably.
Maybe.
That'd be cool.
It's a possibility.
Yeah. And there's a few in Iowa as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and all over. Pretty much anywhere with a school of music.
Really? Oh, well, that's really cool. That's cool. And then would you end up teaching or would you end up performing?
Hopefully performing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do they need marimbas, like in major orchestras and so forth? Is there a marimba seat?
Not so much, but... there's other opportunities. So.
Yeah.
Like, for, I mean, let's think this through, dear, because we got to. They're folks pouring a lot of money, not just
right,
the marimba.
Right. Yeah,
the marimba is the least of it.
I don't know. I guess it's kind of teaching, but on a higher, like a collegiate level, or cool. Being a touring clinician,
yeah.
Performer, that kind
yeah.
of stuff.
Or playing in bars and taverns.
It's a possibility, yeah.
Never
might happen.
Never dismiss that possibility, because it's not, it's a living, right? Yeah. Christine, very nice to have you here. Thanks for joining us here. Thanks for agreeing to play the quiz. You know how this works? Okay, someone out there calls along and becomes a partner of you in this quiz. You work together, so it's a good thing. And Jim Packard, how does that work then?
This is an encore performance, so don't call today, but save your call for another time.
The commute time. Number one, Dubuque, number one commute time in the nation. And the place is rated Almanac, best places to live. We want to know, what is that commute time? How long does it take to commute on average? The number one commute time in America, right here. In Dubuque. If you know that, give us a call here. Within how many seconds, Jim?
Within 7 seconds.
How many minutes, Jim? Let's do it that way.
All right.
Yeah, the second is probably
within 3 minutes.
Within 3 minutes, get the commute time, then you win. Okay, go to the phones right now. Mark's on the line there from Dubuque. Hi, Mark.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm just fine, thank you.
Well, that's good. This commute time, how long is your commute, Mark?
That depends on where I'm headed.
Okay. Let's say you're going to work. How about that?
Depends on whether I drive or bicycle.
Okay,
I'm going to make this difficult for you.
No. It's too late for that, Mark. So then let's say you're driving, Mark. This is, I think, driving time.
10 minutes. And it's about the same by bicycle.
So What's the point in bicycling then at all? Because you're out there in the open and the elements and stuff.
So it's a good thing to do. It's invigorating.
Okay, so he says 10 minutes.
Yeah, either way.
What's our wiggle room here?
Our wiggle room was 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's 11.8.
Well, I'm in then.
11.8. Yes. Just for being the guy you are, Mark. So, Mark, when you are commuting, where are you going to?
I work at a public works garage. I'm a mechanic.
You're a mechanic?
Yes, I work on the trucks.
Oh, you do? Oh, good for you.
I have not met the machine. I cannot get a part.
That's quite a brag there, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to call you on that one, but I'm sure that someone here has a machine that you could probably not get a part.
Oh, I've been tested.
Do you mean break down or get a part for?
No, I mean take apart.
Take apart.
Dismantle.
Dismantle.
Yeah,
okay.
I get anything apart.
Okay, well, that's cool. What's the secret, WD-40? Or?
temperament.
Temperament, okay. In other words, bang on it like hell.
Well,
right?
Whatever you got to do.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, Mark.
And you gotta, I've got some lessons for Tom and Ray and Click and Clack. I could teach them.
Yeah. What's the first thing you would teach them, Mark?
Temperament.
Temperament. That's a good one, Mark. Mark, this is Christine here.
Hi, Mark.
Good morning, Christine. Nice to hear you.
You too.
Yeah, and temperament and the marimba would work too.
That would be good.
You think? Yeah, or a steel drums, a little temperament on that. That'd be a good thing. Are the two of you are our partners right now, Mark and Christine. So you work as a team and a brain trust. And Jim Packard, what are those categories?
Those categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science or odds and ends?
Temperament. I really like that. That's good. You should write a book on that, Mark. Mark, you pick the first category. You're our guest.
I think, Christine, things you should have learned in school if you've been paying attention.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Did you pay attention in school, Christine?
Yeah, I do.
Ooh.
The Meskwakis Indians called him Little Knight. Who was he, Little Knight? This is a big part of Dubuque history.
I have that answer, Christine.
Go for it.
Julian Dubuque.
Julian Dubuque, yes, Little Knight. They called him. He was swarthy, and he was little, so that worked out pretty good for him. And,
one right, no wrong.
Very good. What's left?
Current events, people, places,
temperament,
science,
Jim.
Odds and ends. I'm developing temperament, Mike.
Yes, Christine.
Mark, is people okay?
Sure, certainly.
Yeah.
We're going to do them all, Christine,
okay.
One after another.
Awesome.
How would you define temperament, Mark, just before we leave this subject?
Well, see, that's a relevant term.
Okay, never mind.
This gets quite lengthy.
Yeah, okay, never mind. Do more Iowans favor same-sex marriage or any-sex marijuana?
What?
According to the Iowa poll.
Oh.
They asked them, Iowans about same-sex marriage and about marijuana legalization, and which they actually were both positive, more than 50%, but which is more positive?
Christine?
I'm thinking same-sex marriage.
I have no idea, so that's what we're going to go with.
Nope. Well, I'm afraid no. It's marijuana. 62% of you are either smoking it or would like to be, apparently. 53%, that's still a pretty good size number there for the same-sex marriage, according to the Iowa poll. So that would be...
one right and one wrong.
Okay, well, don't worry about that. A minor setback. And you certainly can do both. We're not saying you can't. What's left there?
Current events, places, science, odds and ends.
All righty. Back to you, Mark.
Current events, please.
Current events. Where'd you go to school, Mark?
Here in Dubuque, Wallert High School.
Wallert.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where'd you go, Christine?
I went to Hempstead.
Hempstead. Let's duke it out here. Okay, so far neither Kevin Costner nor Ray Liotta have taken the bait on this one-of-a-kind property for sale. What property might that be nearby?
Oh, boy.
It was offered to both of them, or at least they passed it in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
They passed on it.
Kevin Costner and Ray Liotta.
Yeah. Property nearby. Please, please, please.
I'm thinking Field of Dreams.
You're thinking Field of Dreams.
Yeah, I'll bet
maybe you're just dozing off. Maybe. Is that possible?
Very good, Christine.
Field of Dreams, Mark?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yes.
She's right.
Field of Dreams, only $5.4 million for that cornfield.
Way to go, Christine.
That's kind of pricey for cornfield, isn't it?
Two right, one wrong.
They get a lot more than they used to for them, I know.
Mm-hmm.
So what's left there, Jim?
Places, science, odds and ends.
Places, science, odds and ends. Christine?
Places.
What year are you now, Christine?
I'm a senior.
You're a senior. So you got to find a place for that marimba pretty quick.
I have another semester next year.
Yeah.
Only one, so.
Yeah. Have you changed majors at all along the way?
I have, yeah.
Yeah. What were you before this?
I was an open major, and then I was a political science major.
Oh, yeah.
And then I recently decided not to do a music education degree. So
you're not doing music education?
Right, just performance.
Oh, just performance. Cool. Okay. What did you say, science?
Yeah.
Science, okay.
No. Places.
Places.
Places. Sorry, we're just chatting here. You know, why don't you do the what's your major thing that goes from there? The new Melleray Trappist Monastery, 12 miles southwest of Dubuque, is the place to go for your handcrafted what? So this, if you've been paying any attention earlier, this is a gimme.
Yeah.
Caramels.
Yep, that's it.
No?
No.
Oh, no, casket. It's a casket. They make caskets out there.
Oh, yeah.
They make them out of oak and pine and whatever you want.
And you know
they
how
grow the trees.
You know how they make them, Mark?
By hand.
Temperament.
No. See?
I'm a little surprised at you, Mark.
We've determined that is a relative term. We already agree.
No, I think it's a great concept. And I hope you go far. Yes, caskets. $2,800 for an oversized, please. Thank you very much. You win. So what do you know? Jim Packard, what have they?
Mark, you've won a prize package of all things Dubuque from the Dubuque Chamber Welcome Center, including a Dubuque and All That Jazz CD, two CDs by the Big Muddy Ghost Hunters exploring the spirits of Dubuque, a baseball cap and an artist print of Dubuque landmarks. Delve into the Iowa State Fair Cookbook 15th edition for prize-winning recipes from the past 2 years to make pirate booty, Persian love cake, yam yam honey buns, groovy granola bars, and more from the Iowa State Fair. Christine, you can begin your quiz victory celebration with a bottle of fine Iowan wine, including two glasses from the Stonecliff Winery located at the Port of Dubuque. Then take the whole family to the Port of Dubuque to see the lizards, giant catfish, sturgeon, ducks, frogs, and much more at the National Mississippi River Museum and Aquarium, and show your support of Iowa skiing with a T-shirt portraying a skier being pulled by the tail of a cow from Envision Tees of Dubuque. Congratulations to both of you.
Thank you,
Christine. Best of luck to you in your study. Really, thank you. Mark, hang on for a second. We'll get this to you. Temperament, man.
Thank you.
Good to talk to you.
If you'd like to attend a What Do You Know show in Madison, call the box office at 608-262-2201 or go online at notmuch.com. Next show's in Madison, Saturday, October 23rd and 30th at Monona Terrace.
Well, look who dropped in, everybody. Jim Post. World-renowned folk singer, man about town, man about the river. And now the river is very close to your heart, Jim.
It is. I make a good living off the river and Mark Twain.
Yeah. Explain the connection between, besides looking like Mark Twain, what is the connection?
Well, I was standing out one time with Norman Mark, a theater reviewer, and I was standing on the road going down, and it was autumn, and the leaves were coming through, and I said, out on the islands under the trees, lay in your back, look up to heaven, cathedral ceiling, shilling through stained glass leaves. And he said, that should be in a song. And that started my whole Mark Twain.
You know, I've often said the same thing.
Oh, yeah. I don't say it. I've heard you
I
say it.
I thought the cathedral part.
Yeah, well, it was a bar, I know.
Yeah. It was, wasn't it? And this is all part of, you have a CD out that is The Laughing River, right?
I have two shows. I have one called Mark Twain, The Laughing River, and one called Mark Twain's Adventures Out West. But then I realized that I needed to end the show with telling people how I got famous. So I put out West and combined them, and now there they are.
Okay, and this number is from which of those?
From The Laughing River, I perform in Galena, Illinois, in case anyone would like to know.
Okay, nearby.
Come over.
An easy drive. Would you like further ado?
Well,
or without further ado?
Oh, without further ado.
Okay, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Jim Post.
Everybody knows it's a mighty big river. It flows from Minnesota to the Gulf of Mexico. Drinks the Alleghenies and the mighty Rocky Mountains. Everybody knows how the Mississippi rolls from northern Minnesota to the Gulf of Mexico. And I know that the river has a rhythm, I know. Just like an Indian drum, and I know that the rhythm of the river, it's a rhythm of life, it's a rhythm of man. The mighty Mississippi is the heartbeat of the land. Everybody knows springtime on the river is dear to heaven as a boy can be. Then come the floods ripping like the devil, looking for Huck, Tom Sawyer, and me. Like Injun Joe, it's as mean as it can be. And I know that the river has a rhythm, I know. Just like an Indian drum, and I know that the rhythm of the river, it's a rhythm of life, it's a rhythm of man. The mighty Mississippi is the heartbeat of the land. Everybody knows summer on the river, riverboat towns are busy as a bee. Rivertown boys dream about the river, standing in the pilot house behind the big wheel. They want to be a pilot and ring the big bell. And I know that the river has a rhythm, I know. Just like an Indian drum, and I know that the rhythm of the river, it's a rhythm of life, it's a rhythm of man. The mighty Mississippi is the heartbeat of the land. Everybody knows that autumn on the river, out on the islands under the trees, lay on your back and look up to heaven, cathedral ceiling through stained glass leaves, Indian summer on Canadian breeze. Everybody knows that winter on the river, under northern lights the river will freeze, but way down south the river keeps rolling. Magnolia, honeysuckle on tropical breeze. It's enough to make a Yankee weak in the knees. And I know that the river has a rhythm, I know. Just like an Indian drum, and I know that the rhythm of the river, it's a rhythm of life, it's a rhythm of man. The mighty Mississippi is the heartbeat of the land. Rhythm of life, it's a rhythm of man. The mighty Mississippi is the heartbeat. It is the heartbeat of the land. Now, it's a mighty big river. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Jim Post.
Our next live shows in Madison are September 22nd and September 29th at Monona Terrace. Tickets at notmuch.com or by calling 608-262-2201. Michael and the gang head to the Red River Valley for a live What Do You Know show from Festival Concert Hall on the North Dakota State University campus in Fargo on October 20th. Tickets available now by calling 701-231-7969 or click on prairiepublic.org/radio. Welcome back to an encore presentation of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, Clyde Stubblefield on drums, Chris Mertz on sax, with Jim Packard announcing. In this hour of What Do You Know, Michael talks with Dr. Dubuque, Michael Gibson, Jeff Kramer of Kramer's Grocery stops by with turkey and dressing sandwiches, and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Now, once again, Michael Feldman.
Now, hot on the heels of Sarah Bernhardt, Al Jolson, and Eddie Cantor, Michael Feldman.
And what a history there is here. We're in Dubuque, in case you're wondering what I'm talking about. And at the Five Flags Theater, which was it, an Orpheum Theater or a? Orpheum? Yes? Big vaudeville house and everything, and all the greats played here. So it's quite a thrill just to be here in beautiful Dubuque. And speaking of history in Dubuque, the oldest city around here, for sure. Puts Platteville to shame. I think Platteville has just started in the 50s. Well, 1830 or something like that. 30-something, yeah. And only 130 years later, you got wastewater treatment, and I know that. Michael Gibson knows what I don't know. Would you welcome him, please? He's an archivist, ladies and gentlemen, who knows everything and there's to know about Dubuque. From Loras College, historian, archivist, man about town, and junk collector, I guess, too, pretty much. You got a lot of it is really just sort of junk collecting, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, exactly, exactly.
Archiving?
Right.
How does one get to be an archivist? You just have a lot of stuff and you decide to go into it?
Yeah, a lot of junk.
Yeah.
You know, Sanford and Son?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's you?
Well, I'm one of them.
Are you Sanford or Son?
I don't know.
It's kind of important.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you have a junkyard somewhere with the stuff piled high?
Yeah, the basement of my house.
Yeah? Have you got a wife?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's in the audience. She'll verify that.
How does she feel about the basement of the house, then? Doesn't she want you to get rid of all that junk, basically?
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. And you hold out?
Yep.
What a guy you are. You know what that is?
Absolutely.
You know what that is?
It's dedication to your profession. It's
temperament.
Temperament.
You know, what do you got down in that basement?
Well, I've got a lot of things in that basement.
Yeah.
Mostly books.
Books, okay. Yeah. Any artifacts?
But in the archives, well.
That's probably at the college.
I'm the artifact.
You're the...
Yeah.
So most of the good stuff has to go to the college, right?
Right.
Yeah. So what do you got there at Loras?
At Loras College, we've got everything.
Uh-huh.
Everything that's old.
Okay.
Including myself.
All right.
Right.
So there's some from the early settlers and from anything from Julian himself?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We've got the city council proceedings from the very first city council meeting.
Oh. How'd that go?
1837.
Yeah?
Yeah. They had the same concerns we have today.
Really? The same derogatory
except for hogs running loose in the streets. That was a problem then. We don't seem to have that problem in Dubuque right now.
No. Yeah. We in Madison, where I'm from, they had a problem with cows.
Cows.
People kept cows, and they tended to break down fences.
Well, you're the dairy state, so.
Yeah, we've been accused of that.
I don't like cheese, by the way.
All right. Anything else I have to watch out for when
I'm
talking?
I don't know.
You're a little touchy.
You know what they say about archivists?
No.
Maybe I shouldn't say this with my wife in the audience.
Go ahead.
I will anyway.
Yeah.
Well, my urologist is here anyway. They make it last longer.
Two most important people in your life.
Yeah.
Your wife and your urologist.
Well, they make it last longer, you know.
I'm sorry,
I say they make it last longer.
Oh, archivists make it last longer.
Yeah.
Do you have a bumper sticker to that effect?
Well, No, but I have a T-shirt to that effect.
You do? Okay. Yeah. What did you bring in the bag here? Is this something archival?
Not anything too old.
Okay.
I know you wanted me to bring something old. But
some junk. Did you bring some junk?
Well, no.
No. Well, what the heck? What do you got there? Oh, yeah, none of that stuff is in here.
You know this stuff?
That's not old.
How about that?
Huh? Doyle's lunch?
You know what I say about archives? There's nothing too insignificant.
Yeah.
This collect. From
Doyle's lunch, home cooking.
Right.
212 West 1st Street in Dubuque, Iowa.
You know, that might be the only thing that documents Doyle's lunch counter. So I want that. I collect that sort of thing.
Okay.
I mean, nothing's too insignificant. And it doesn't have to be old.
No.
You know, after all, what happened a second ago was history.
Yeah. I know.
And, of course,
history. We've forgotten it already.
Yeah. I've forgotten most of it. Right?
Really, yeah.
Right,
yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Well, history's a mystery, too.
So you get paid?
No.
Michael?
Yeah.
You can make a living at this?
Well, I don't know about a living, but yeah. I get paid.
All right, let's start here then. Did Julian Dubuque, was he actually the first white settler?
The first white settler what?
What are you just looking at in this area? I mean, you know, in the Dubuque area.
In the Dubuque area?
Yes.
No.
God, it's like pulling teeth, Michael. Don't you want to share any of this stuff? Is that it? It's your stuff, and you're not going to share it, right?
No.
Is that how you are? What kind of archivist doesn't want to share?
Well, you know, we have a history professor at Loras College that says the role of an archivist is to hide things from historians.
And they're urologists, so you got to hide stuff from them.
Right. Yeah, you definitely want to hide things from them. That's right. Yeah.
Okay, do we have, for example, any artifacts from Julian Dubuque, his old sweet self?
Not at Loras College.
No.
But they do exist.
Okay. What did he leave behind?
However, his library, I'm very confused about his library. He had quite a library. He's quite an educated gentleman.
He was?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He read a lot.
Okay.
He had about 58 books with him while he was here in Dubuque.
Okay.
And he was reading Montesquieu and Locke, and he had some dictionaries and things of that nature.
Yeah.
And they sold his
estate. He was a French speaker, I presume. Right.
French, yes. French-Canadian.
Yes.
From Quebec.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dubuque's not the only Dubuque there is, though.
No.
There is another Dubuque.
No, there isn't.
Yeah, there is.
No, there isn't.
Yeah.
No. Come on, you know, just because I walked into town here.
Dubuque, Kansas. Haven't you ever heard of Dubuque, Kansas?
No, never heard of it.
No.
Isn't that funny?
It existed.
Because there's a Milwaukee, Kansas, too.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? They took all our town names in Kansas for some reason.
Absolutely.
Misspell them.
Well, in this case, there was a bunch of Polish people and German people and Irish people that went from Milwaukee and Dubuque to Kansas, and at the turn of the 19th century, or the 20th century, I should say,
mm-hmm.
they developed a little community near Salinas.
They did?
Yeah.
And it's still called
Dubuque. Called Dubuque.
Is it spelled the same way?
Spelled the same way.
Because Milwaukee, they messed up totally the spelling.
They've messed up Dubuque before, too.
Yeah, okay. All right, so that's interesting.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
I just thought you'd like to know.
It's a little better than that match
you're not
cover
a
thing.
Committed.
That you
yeah,
with.
That's right.
Okay.
Have you seen one of these?
Punch card.
Yeah. You know what that is.
A punch card.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that in the archives too?
Yeah. We're getting more and more of those things in the archives. We're getting a lot of things
big,
in the archives.
Big old floppy
disks. Like these. Yeah.
Yes.
The good old floppy disks. You know. But now we got flash drives and
iPods.
Yeah,
but that's not interesting, Michael.
It is. It
to
is.
You, to you, it is.
It is because this is the future of our archives. This is what our archives of the future are going to look like.
We want junk, though. We want. There must got to be.
In my mind, this is junk.
Yeah, because you won't be able to read these.
That's
old, big
exactly
old
right.
Floppies.
There you got the point. You took the words right out of my mouth.
Okay. Well, someone had to.
Yeah,
someone had
right.
to. Do you teach as well? Do you...
No, I do give public programs, however.
Well, that must be good.
Yeah. Well,
what do you do? Come out here with match covers and
yeah, I take my matchbook
covers
and
say, "See, here
That's
it is.
Right. Here it is.
It's all here.
Here's the future. You won't be able to read it.
Okay.
Can't access it, so it won't be any good to you.
Got to go. Got a urology appointment.
Yeah.
Okay, materials for research is your objective here. And you must have some interesting artifacts on display there that reflect the history of the area at Loras College in your archives, don't you?
Well, we have Bishop Loras's laptop. You know, our students think they're pretty smart at Loras because Loras is a laptop campus.
I'll get laptops.
Well, Bishop Loras had a laptop.
Oh.
We have his. Uh-huh. He had to carry it on horseback.
What was
in a saddlebag.
What was his laptop? Actually, a typewriter or something?
No, a laptop desk. He carried in a saddlebag. That was his laptop.
Okay.
We have his throne chair as well.
You got to travel with that.
No.
I travel with mine.
Do you?
Yeah. I spend a lot of time on the throne.
Do you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well.
I got a porta throne.
A porta throne. Yeah.
Those are good, too. Okay, so you got all the bishop's things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's good. And that goes back to what year was that?
We're not a museum, so we don't have a lot of artifactual things. Three-dimensional.
Oh, okay.
Most of ours are two-dimensional.
Okay. If you must have people that are donating things
all the time. Yeah.
What sorts of things do they donate?
A lot of questions. they always donate questions. You know?
Yeah.
You know, I had a guy ask me one time.
Yeah.
We have a Julian Dubuque Bridge here, of course.
Yeah.
And he asked me if I knew when lightning struck the Julian Dubuque Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, do you have any idea when it was? And he says, no. He said, maybe it was about 1946 or 1947.
Uh-huh.
I said, that's interesting. I said, but I don't think I can tell you when lightning struck the Julian Dubuque Bridge,
just
based on that much evidence. And there was a long pause, and all of a sudden he says, I'm amazed, Mr. Gibson. I said, amazed about what? He says, well, I thought you knew everything there was to know about Dubuque history. And I said, well, I do, but I don't know this, based on that amount of evidence.
No.
You know. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to say, why in the hell do you want to know?
Yeah.
But that was a burning issue with him.
No, boring, I think.
Yeah, it was boring, yeah. Well, it was...
That was a Freudian slip. All right, so let me get this straight now, Mr. Gibson. Is it Professor Gibson?
No.
No. Okay. Dr. Gibson?
Well, I've been called Dr. Dubuque.
Dr. Dubuque?
Yeah. Or the guru of Dubuque.
Okay.
You're the sage of Wisconsin.
Now say
You're
something.
You're the sage of Wisconsin, right?
Yeah, but that's a lie, too.
So's mine.
I know.
Yeah,
that's
definitely.
What I said,
definitely.
Too.
Yeah.
Also, in other words. Okay. Here's.
You really want to know what kind of junk I have?
Well, yeah, I know. If it's just this, we can go on to something else.
Yeah.
Should we go on to something else?
Well, I don't have artifacts.
You don't have a wagon wheel, an anvil?
No. That's all down at the Riverboat Museum.
Okay. Yeah, I saw some of those. Those are nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Historical. That we can be historical, though.
Absolutely.
Can we talk about the early settlers here, what they were like? And there's Joliet and Marquette came through here, right? But they didn't stay.
Right.
And then...
Julian Dubuque, obviously.
Julian Dubuque came, and he had a good relationship with the Indians that were here.
Absolutely, yeah. With the Meskwaki.
The Meskwaki Indians.
Sauk and Fox, yeah. Meskwaki means Red Earth people.
Mm-hmm.
They came from, we believe, Rhode Island area, and then they migrated across the Great Lakes and then eventually down to what is now Iowa.
Yeah.
But they left after the Black Hawk Treaty. They were forced out. They went to Kansas.
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
Probably to Milwaukee.
No, not to Milwaukee, Kansas.
Milwaukee, Kansas.
Kansas, yeah, right. Then they came back to Iowa and developed a casino.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Which casino was there?
It's in Tama and Toledo,
West
of Cedar Rapids on Highway 30.
What's that one called?
Meskwaki Bingo.
Oh, Meskwaki Bingo. See, this is getting fascinating now. Yeah. We turned a corner here. It's a big craft, you know, so it takes a while to turn it.
Well, the early settlers were primarily Germans and Irish.
Okay.
And everybody else was kind of in the middle. The Irish were to the south, Little Dublin, and the Germans to the north end of town.
Yeah.
Everybody else in the middle. And you know what they used to define a mixed marriage as in Dubuque?
No.
an Irish lass, and a German boy.
Oh.
That was a mixed marriage.
Okay. Make note of that. Mixed marriage, yeah. Irish lass, German boy. Okay. That's good. Did the were there two separate migrations for the Catholics and the Presbyterians?
Well, the Presbyterians were always in a minority. But they were probably the second largest Protestant group in the community, next to the Lutherans.
The Lutherans.
Of course, the early German Catholics and Irish Catholics, the Germans could not obviously speak English. So they actually, some of them, went to German Lutheran services and German Presbyterian services, where the native tongue was spoken.
Right. And I know there's a Jewish population as well, and they were also
correct.
German. So they did German.
Alexander Levi, he was the early Jewish immigrant here. He was the first nationalized immigrant in what was to be the state of Iowa.
Well, there you go.
So,
what business was he in, do you know?
Yeah.
Good. Well, someday maybe he'll tell me. And,
no, he was in the dry goods business.
Dry goods.
Yeah, dry goods.
A lot of my people were in dry goods. Dry goods. And dry cleaning was another big one.
Dry cleaning, later on.
Yeah, well, you needed to get dirty out there in the frontier.
Absolutely.
That's for sure. Well, it's been hallucinating.
Hallucinating. has it not been hysterical as well?
It's been hysterical and hallucinating. And,
hallucinating.
is the Encyclopedia Dubuque, are you involved with that at all?
Yes, I have been.
Yeah.
It's online now, so you can access it online.
So all the stuff we didn't get around
to. That's where you got all... Yeah, they can read that.
Yeah, all the stuff you can get around to is on the Encyclopedia Dubuque online, which is really fascinating.
I read
an 1865 history, it's like a day book of the history of Dubuque, and I went through all 1865 and all the household dilemmas and stuff. It was actually quite amusing, all the stuff that was going on. Have you seen that, the history of Dubuque one? It has the 1860s.
And no, you might be referring to the county histories, but they're not 1860. That's more early for a book.
Yeah, I'll get to it, actually, because I'm good reading for you.
I've got some reading to leave with you as well.
Oh, you do? What do you got for me? We can just read this for the rest of the interview.
Right. Yeah, you can read that.
My Old Dubuque, Collected Writings on the Dubuque Area History by Len Cruz.
Cruzy,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Forward by Mike Gibson. Okay, let's just read your foreword then. That'll be your final.
That'll take up the rest of the time.
Every community seems to have a few local historians whose roots go back several generations. When did your people come here?
My people?
Yeah, your people.
My people didn't come here.
They didn't come here?
No.
Are your people here
now? No, I'm not a Dubuquer.
Okay. Where do you hail from?
Idaho.
Oh, you do?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a few good Idahoans out there.
Well, there's another show in that, too,
I guess. There is. There is, yeah. It's potatoes, not corn, you know.
Potatoes, yeah, okay. So next time we'll do Idaho.
Yeah, next time do Idaho.
All right, thanks, Mike.
I can probably tell you more about that.
Mike Gibson, ladies and gentlemen. A lot more where that came from. And don't forget My Old Dubuque, Collected Writings on Dubuque Area History. Here's love the city. Okay. That some reading there on the ride back. Why doesn't my husband want me to mention him on the radio? Carol Babbitt. I don't know, Carol. Why do you suppose? Is he wanted? Huh? Where is she? Oh, there she is. Okay. No, I'm not accusing you of being Carol or of mentioning her husband, for that matter. Yes, we're going to get to the bottom of this, I think, right off the bat here. Are you Carol Babbitt? Marion, Iowa?
I am.
This is your life, Carol. Congratulations. How are you?
Pretty good. I came to this show because my friend Mary Christine O'Brien just adores you and your show. We now own all your books.
Where is she?
She was planned to come here today and had to watch her nephew, Jack. Hello, Jack. I know they're listening.
He's old enough to watch himself.
He's six.
He's 6 years old. That's plenty old enough to watch.
So instead, my mother came today.
Hi, dear.
And it's her first Michael Feldman experience.
She doesn't adore me nearly as much as Mary Christine Louise
O'Brien.
Does she?
Well, my mother's beginning to.
You're very adorable, too, I must say. I hope you like me as much. Yeah, I think we're getting very close.
I think so.
I,
connected.
See, there's a spark.
I think so, yes. Anyway, I asked
But your husband is a whole different matter.
He is. I've only been married about a year.
Okay.
And when I left today...
What were you doing before that?
Things.
Does your mother know about that part of your life?
We need to face this way.
Don't you kind of wonder why she waited quite a while, really?
When I went to leave today, I said, now listen to the radio. I might be on the radio. And he goes, don't talk about me.
Okay. Well, we should probably respect that.
No, we shouldn't, Brian Ray Babbitt.
Why would he think it's a little presumptuous to think that we would talk about him, though?
Well, you know, I've only been married a year. Yeah. And, of course, I think he's adorable and affectionate and sweet and perfect, you know. Yeah. Oh. You know.
Well, that's just 1 year in, though. I didn't even last that long. But I had a, I was out from the beginning, and I don't recall ever having a period where any of those things applied to me.
Alzheimer's.
So that's pretty good.
It is. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. And what else can we say about him then? Why wouldn't he want people to know that he's perfect?
He's a little bit shy.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
What's his name again?
Brian.
Brian, get over it. She loves you, man.
I do.
She loves you. She wants to talk about you. That's
I
all.
Do.
Yeah, thanks, dear, very much.
Oh, thank you, Mike.
Thank you. Thanks. Say hello to Mary Louise O'Brien, Parker, Shaughnessy. Shane Rosado, is it? Score. What?
That's me.
Yeah, do that again.
Score.
Come on, Shane. You scored, man. How are you, man?
Pretty good.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
You're a cool dude. I like the shirt and everything.
Thank you.
I like the look and everything. Okay, here, wait a second. Me and Shane. We're doing the score sign. And you're, what, in 10th grade? Where?
Vinton Shelsburg High School.
Cool. Good school?
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah?
Pretty good.
Are you doing a lot of activities there? Or?
Football, yeah.
Football? What do you play? Football?
Yeah, okay.
Good. That's a good thing to play when you're on football.
Yeah. Split end.
Split ends, that's okay. It's your shampoo, man.
We didn't do so good last night.
You didn't do so good? What happened?
No, we lost.
Like, to?
Central DeWitt. We lost like 40 to zip.
Whoa. Well, let's not split ends over that.
It's 4-4 now.
Yeah. That's all. You'll come back from that.
Yeah.
It's a learning opportunity.
That's why I came here. I thought you'd give me some wisdom.
Yeah, go out for tennis or something.
You know? Yeah.
Then you don't have to worry about all those other guys, just you out there, you know, flailing around.
Volleyball.
Volleyball is good, too.
Yeah.
Doing pretty good in that?
Yeah.
What I don't understand, Shane, is your obsession with a bachelor party. What is this?
I just wanted to know what your ideal bachelor party would be like.
You know, I'm so far from being concerned about bachelor. To me, just to be a bachelor would be party enough. You know what I mean?
I was thinking maybe you'd do something like off the movie Hangover or something.
Yeah, that'd be good. Or wind up on the Las Vegas hotel roof, yeah. I think, after 3 days in the sun would be.
With a lion in your motel.
With a lion in your motel. Yeah, I think that would be ideal. Have you thought about this? Are you already planning your bachelor party?
Yeah, I just want to skip everything except being knocked out by Mike Tyson.
Is there a, you have a girl in mind in case you have to get married at the end of the whole thing, you know? That's the only drawback to it.
No.
Okay, good. Thanks, man. You rule. That's Shane. He's cool. See, now, this is what I wanted to get into with Mike earlier, and it was like pulling teeth. Do you know the Indian legend of Piasta and Potosi? Huh? Who wrote this? I don't know. It's unsigned. You wrote this? Can you tell us that legend? Can you embellish it a little bit? You can't? What?
I know very little of the legend.
Why would you ask about it then?
I was hoping you would know.
How would I know what the legend of... Piasta and Potosi is. I just happen to know that.
Potosi is a Wisconsin town. I thought maybe you knew the history of Western.
I don't know Sheboygan either. What are you giving me? Potosi. The history of Sheboygan and Shabazi. I don't know. I have no idea. But
it's an Indian legend based...
Good. Now make it good.
Based on unrequited love and young lovers who part. That's about all I know.
She's not the one who jumped at the waterfall, is she?
Might have been.
Okay. Well, thanks. Do you know the legend here?
Nope.
Is your father?
Yep.
Does he always do this?
Not all the time.
Thank you. Very well put. Not all the time is an excellent answer, dear. But, okay, well, there's the legend, a little history there, if you want that. Huh? Oh, here's the whole legend. Can you do it upright?
I don't know much about the legend, but the chief, the Indian chief, was Potosi, and his daughter was Piasta, who evidently was very attracted to, or vice versa, Julian Dubuque. Yes, and they're saying that they married, but we're not really sure about that. But we own a Julian Dubuque original letter written by Julian Dubuque. Mm-hmm. See? I know. Why didn't you? We're fourth generation Dubuquers. We've been here a long time. Okay?
Thank you very much. That was very good. What does the letter say that you have?
Well, it's written in French, and it's to his partner in St. Louis, trying to talk him out of suing him, and it didn't work.
Well, then it sounds authentic.
It's authentic, and he didn't get anywhere with it. So, yeah, it was a good move.
Come, you bring the letter. Bring. Wow, those for me? She's not going to give up her morels. So that's going to. Yeah, she's got morals. Yeah, got some. Very nice, very nice. Thank you. And you are?
Fran and Ellen Hinkles.
Fran and Ellen?
Hinkles.
Fran and Ellen. She's somebody else.
Fran and Ellen Hinkles. Fran and Ellen Hinkles, ladies and gentlemen. The Hinkles, ladies and gentlemen. See? Next time it's the Hinkles.
Michael.
And then, huh? What? I'm going to make you blow it. Yeah.
Okay. I will if I have to.
Don't.
All right.
Just I got to say hello. Denise Bright is here. In the same room? Yes. Because she made my husband drive 3 hours to attend a show he has never listened to. What will I have to do in return? And I thought we should deal with that. True?
It is true. I listen every Saturday while I'm cleaning the house, so I know how I have to space my time. And sometimes I run the vacuum when the guys are playing the music.
Excellent. No. No, that's a service. That's a service we provide. And then Jim says anything, that's when you add the laundry, the softener.
So we're sitting here this morning, and he says, now, is this a show that I hear every Saturday, and they ask people stupid questions, and is that what we're doing here? So I'm a little afraid of what he's going to...
Yeah. No, but now that you see it, has your opinion changed considerably?
It's a wonderful show, and I'm glad I was able to make it.
Well, thank you on behalf of the whole stupid idea. Thank you, dear. But there is the one lingering question of what you will have to do in return.
I'll give that one some thought.
Good for you. All right, good. That works out. Well, okay, so we're going to play another round of the What Do You Know quiz because we didn't get to everyone the first time. And you won't get everyone this time either, but, you know, we need... I'm thinking the gentleman in the very back row there. Yeah, you, sir. It's because you're in the very back row. I sort of like people who sit in a very bad row. I don't know why. They want to be here, but they don't want to be involved. You know, usually. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
That's a form of greeting where I come from.
That's in here, too.
I didn't mean to...
No, you didn't.
Okay. And you are?
I'm Andy.
Andy? Yes. Are you from around here, Andy?
Yes, I am.
Dubuque?
Born and raised.
Good. Maybe you know something about this town. About Dubuque.
Things about Dubuque. What would you like to hear?
Just give me one good reason why you should play this quiz, Andy, and we'll take it from there.
You know, I should play the quiz because I'm the treasurer of the Dubuque Area Chamber of Commerce, and I think that entitles me to preferential treatment.
All right. Chamber of Commerce, boy. Okay, Mr. CFC. Come on up here.
Yes, the chamber.
Chamber. Treasurer, the best job at the Chamber of Commerce. Have a seat there if you would. Did you use a last name as well? Or?
Yeah, my last name is Wilberding. I was from the north side. I'm a German.
Okay, that's good.
And my father always used to tell me that when he was a kid, and he's been passed away for quite a while, but he said when he was a kid, if you were a German and you went below 4th Street, you were going to get a butt kicking, and vice versa if you were Irish.
Okay. And did you find that to be true in your youth?
No, by that time that had all died out.
Yeah.
But this is 4th Street right out here.
4th Street is a dividing line where that elevator thing goes up there to the thing there.
Yeah.
So that was it. That was the wall there, the Great Wall. There.
Yeah.
Was the elevator.
The Great Wall of Dubuque is what they didn't call it.
Yeah. And it was the German kids and the Irish kids?
German kids and the Irish kids. For some odd reason, they didn't seem to like one another. Have you been on the elevator? Have you ridden the elevator?
No, because I said we were going to go on to it, and then Jim said they lure you on there. Like, you go on there, and you don't have to pay. Like, it's free.
Pry it open. It's your wallet. Pry it open. It's a bucket. What is it, a bucket
and a half?
It's
not my wallet. It's Jim. Jim.
Okay, I'll tell you what.
You pry open Jim's wallet. I dare you.
I give you...
That you need temperament to not
That's right.
to pry open. So, okay, growing up here, where'd you go to school and all that kind of stuff?
Grade school, I went to Sacred Heart grade school.
Sacred Heart.
And, yeah.
Come on, Sacred Heart. Yeah.
Go Sacred Heart.
Go Sacred Heart.
And then I went to Wallert High School.
Wallert.
And Loras College.
All right. Okay, then. Pretty good, then. Stayed in the system, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. And to this day, I can't figure out why, but I did.
Yeah.
I mean, the Catholic system.
Yeah. Did you marry an Irish lass, by any chance?
Well...
That would have been cool, then it would come full circle, this whole thing.
Actually, I sort of did.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I mean,
most excellent.
Her last name was Dunn, and she was a beautiful redhead. Irish.
Wonderful.
Sort of, kind of Irish-German mix.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. So we come full circle on this and bring everything together. I like that. I like it when that happens. That's a great thing. Now, at the Chamber of Commerce, is that all you do for a living? Is it your treasurer of the Chamber?
Do I look like I'm starving?
No, you don't look like you're starving or anything. I'm just saying, but, you know.
No, I'm in
Treasurer gets to keep only, what, 10%?
The treasurer gets to keep absolutely nothing.
Yeah, of course. That's what I meant to say.
But we do have a great chamber here. We have a wonderful, active, thriving Chamber of Commerce. And it's a good thing.
Excellent. Okay. But do you do anything else for a living?
Yeah, I'm Director of Finance for A.Y. McDonald Manufacturing Company.
Well, there you go. And they manufacture what?
We manufacture, our primary business is we have a brass foundry and a machine shop, and we make the stuff that gets buried underground that gets water from the water main into your house.
There you go. A very important
it
function in our
is.
Society, because without it, nothing would get in your
you
house.
You would be very thirsty.
Or out of our house. Well, Andy, thank you and for joining us here. And to play the quiz, someone else calls in, right, Jim?
That's right. They grab the telephone.
How do they do that, Jim?
This is an encore performance, so don't call today, but save your call for another time.
And we're looking here at, as much talked about over the years, that the current pig to Iowan ratio. You hear it bandied about all the time, and it's documented. The pig to Iowan ratio, within how many pigs, Jim?
70.
It's a ratio, Jim.
Oh, a ratio.
Yeah.
All right. Just 2-1.
Oh, just stay out of it, Jim. You know. The current pig to Iowan ratio. If you know that, give us a call. You get to play in the quiz here with Andy. And Corey's online in Dubuque. Hey, Corey.
Hello.
Pardon me?
I said hello.
Oh, hello.
And I'd like to say hi to my wife, Penny, who's out there in the audience.
She is? Penny, it's your husband. No, she's not here. I don't know where she told you she was going. Sorry. Can't help you there. No, she's here. She just waved and everything. So, Corey, the current pig-to-Iowan ratio is?
I'm going to guess 2-1.
Oh, a little more than that, Corey.
Okay. Okay.
Thanks, though, for trying. Wife says hi. Kevin in Dubuque. Hey, Kevin.
Hello.
How are you? Real good. The pig to Iowan ratio?
Oh, 8-1.
Who said more than that in the background?
That was you.
That was me?
8-1.
What'd you say?
8-1.
6-1?
6-1.
Yes, that's right. 6-1. For a minute, I thought you said 8-1. Well, it's 5.5-1. That's close enough, closer than 8, and I just can't keep going on with this whole thing. So, Kevin, what do you do? Can you turn your radio down, Kevin? Because otherwise I will go crazy.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Let me get it off, right?
Yeah, just or break it if you have to. Just give it a good kick with a good boot.
Got it.
Got it?
Yep.
Are you at home now, Kevin?
I'm at home.
You are? So what are you supposed to be doing right now?
Well, I'm just waiting to go to work.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. Work at the elevator.
You do?
Yeah.
So what's the deal with you? You get on it, and it seems like it's free, Jim
That's
says.
That's right. Free ride up, but it costs to get back.
Well, it costs to get out, though, doesn't it? I mean, they charge you to get out of the darn
sure,
thing.
Sure, yeah.
Well, that's not fair. Can you just ride back down and not get out and not pay anything?
That wouldn't be a round trip then, would it?
No, it wouldn't be anything because you wouldn't have left.
The big question is, who takes the one way?
Who? No one, I would think, unless you live in that house up there.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's for me then.
Oh, that's where you live?
At the bottom.
You live at the bottom?
I live on the other side of the tracks.
Oh, you do? Okay. Kevin, you're a confusing guy. I'm surprised we haven't had you on the show earlier. Kevin, this is Andy. He's with the Chamber of Commerce.
Hey, Andy.
Hi, Kevin. How are you doing?
Real good. Are you getting any of that foreign money in?
Oh, that foreign money is pouring in, isn't it, Andy?
I have no idea what
oh,
you mean.
Oh, no, there's lots of foreign money. It's pouring in. They're funneled in it into Dubuque. A lot of the foreign money.
Hey, good.
You guys are a team right now. And Jim Beckard, what are those categories?
Those categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science or odds and ends.
Okay. Kevin, you pick the first one.
How about current events?
Current events. So who's watching the elevator right now if you're not there?
I think Gene is.
Okay, good. Not only is it iconic, it's huge, is the statement made on this. It was something that came up earlier in the show, actually. Not only is it iconic, it's huge. The question is, what is? Current events here in Dubuque?
It would be a Grant Wood statue of the American Gothic down at the museum.
All right. Yeah. It would be. Kevin.
Absolutely.
Man. I like it, Kevin. I bet everybody likes you, though, right?
Too.
Yeah.
One right and no wrong.
He's a likable guy.
He's very likable.
Yeah. He probably would let you ride for free.
Oh,
no, I doubt
it. Baby, for you.
Yeah, well,
for you,
it's
maybe.
Jim, you know.
And Jim, I guess.
I can pay. I don't mind.
I can work something out with
Amy. What's the score there, Jim? Did you say?
One right, no wrong.
Okay, what's left there, Jimmy?
People, places, school, science, odds and ends.
Andy, what do you have?
Let's go with people.
People it is. All right. Kind of survey results. All right. 1 in 2, 1 in 10, or 1 in 67 Iowans will drive into a deer. Will.
Oh, let me have that again.
Yes, 1 in 2, 1 in 10, or 1 in 67 Iowans
will
at some time or other drive into a deer.
Having driven
into a deer?
Yeah, into a deer, yeah. I'm guessing it's probably 1 in 10.
Okay. Okay. Mm. What are you guessing, Kevin?
I would think it would be maybe 1 in 67.
What you thinking? Because that's such an odd number why would it be in there otherwise?
Well, I've never
They're clapping around here, Kevin, so that could mean that if we stall long enough, we might get the hint.
Well, you're and Andy's in the Chamber of Commerce. You know, they're always inflating stuff anyhow. So.
Not here.
So you're saying 1 in 67? Is that what you're going
with? Yeah, I'll go along with the one.
Yes, 1 in 67. Will that's just reported though, so it's probably higher than that. You're right. And none of the deer reported, so we don't even know from point of view. Whatever.
Two right and no wrong.
Okay, what's left there, Jim?
Places, school, science, odds and ends.
Kevin.
Oh, how about something I should have learned in school?
Okay. So what's involved actually in running that elevator? Is there a lot? You need expertise to do that, Kevin? Is there a lever inside or?
Yes, button.
There's buttons?
You got to push the buttons.
Oh, cool.
I'm a button pusher.
Cool. What did you want, school?
School, please.
Okay. Every student at Loras College is entitled to one of the following. Is it an Xbox 360, an iPad, or a Lenovo ThinkPad?
That's going to be a Lenovo ThinkPad.
Yeah.
He's thinking it's a ThinkPad.
Yeah. I know they have a laptop, so that would be it.
Okay, I think it should be the Xbox 360, but you're right, it is a Lenovo ThinkPad. Oh, that's good, though, because you won the quiz. And you could stop right here. However, Jim...
They can go on, and they can try for the mother load. They do have to answer two questions correctly from our three remaining categories and win a treasure trove of prizes. However, if they miss either one of those, all they get is directions to a bright box north of Dubuque.
Ooh. I know the way to...
You were close to Bright Box.
We
just
close.
Had to keep going
it
on the road.
It was like the celestial
on.
City. You could see it in the distance, but you could never arrive. So, are you going to go on, gentlemen?
Andy? Motherlode?
Oh, yeah.
Motherlode.
Motherlode.
Temperament. All right. Got to get them both right, Jim. What's left there?
Categories are places, science, odds, and ends.
Places, science, and odds, and ends. Andy, I think it's back
yeah.
to you, isn't it?
Let's do places.
Places, this could be anywhere. Question reads, it's right behind the H Avenue sign, right where it goes from 60 to 55 on I-380 South. What is?
Oh, that would be the TV cameras to give you tickets.
Kevin!
You want to know how many I got?
You know all these questions, Kevin. You're good, man. That's right. Oh, unless you disagree. Yes. All right. Yeah, it's the latest one. First one when you're going south, though. It's in Cedar Rapids there.
I never would have thought you could prepare for the quiz, but apparently Kevin has.
Kevin,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, you did a good job, too, Kevin. All right, that's good. So you're very close, one question away from the whole
thing. That's right,
thing,
four right and no wrong, and it comes to science or odds and ends.
Science or odds and ends, Kevin.
Oh, no good at science, so odds and ends.
Odds and ends, okay. All right, Dubuque's Faye Oliver Farwell was an inventor. I'll take that and just go on, I guess. Did he invent, which of the following did he invent? The camp chair, the combined anvil and vise, or a way to shoot bullets through a propeller without hitting the blades? Dubuque's Faye Oliver Farwell, quite an accomplished inventor.
Okay, Kevin, I'm trying to use my Jim Packard voice here.
Well, I know where he lived, up on Zenwin Place.
Oh.
But I don't know if he was...
Too bad that wasn't the question.
I would say...
Where did he live?
I'm guessing it's not shooting bullets through a propeller.
I'm guessing, too, that.
That's pretty important, though, if you're trying to shoot bullets and you're in a plane and you're trying to shoot those guns.
But did they have a plane back
then? Shoot the propeller off, a lot of people don't think about that. That's a disadvantage.
Really?
In aerial combat.
I was sitting on the camping chair there, but I could be swayed.
Okay, so what's it going to be, gentlemen? You just got to agree on one.
So the other one was the combination anvil and vise?
Yeah.
Is that? I don't know.
That's a handy thing to have. We used to have one.
I don't know, but somebody just heard somebody say bullets.
On one.
Bullets. Well, maybe he was working down by the shot tower. And
So you're saying the shoot bullets through a propeller without hitting the blades?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's right, and so are the other two. It's a trick question. He invented all those things. Unbelievable.
Well, Kevin, while you're on the elevator, you'll proudly wear T-shirts proclaiming Decorah Lutherans Gone Wild or Dubuque, the Iowa Riviera from Ray Gunn of Des Moines, the greatest store in the universe. And from River Lights Bookstore, located on Main Street in downtown Dubuque, you've won Albert Quaskey's The Old Lady in Dubuque's Town, A Memory Diary, and Iowa Curiosities by Eric Jones and Dan Coffey with Barrett Thorkelson, and recall the latest moments in radio from the last quarter century with the CD compilation The First 25 of the Hardest from Michael Feldman's What Do You Know. Andy, you'll be promoting Iowa Public Radio with a handsome charcoal gray T-shirt, a cozy fleece jacket, and a large black ceramic mug, all with the Iowa Public Radio logo, along with Ann Garrell's book Naked in Baghdad, and a CD of music featured on Iowa Public Radio. Then add some flavor to your meals with a collection of cookies, barbecue sauces, the award-winning sauces America loves to eat, along with a cookbook by Speed the Sauce Man Herrig from Cookies Food Products in Wall Lake, Iowa. Congratulations to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Andy. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Andy.
Michael and the gang head to the Red River Valley for a live What Do You Know show from Festival Concert Hall on the North Dakota State University campus in Fargo on October 20th. Tickets available now by calling 701-231-7969 or click on prairiepublic.org/radio.
Well, when it's Thanksgiving in Dubuque, you know, in a lot of
every
places,
day.
They will have the
You all right? I say when it's Thanksgiving, you guys just want to... When it's Thanksgiving in Dubuque, you know, a lot, you don't have the traditional fare necessarily. What you have is a turkey and dressing sandwich from Kramer's Grocery. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Jeff Kramer here, and we have the sandwiches. And boy, does it smell good already. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
How are you?
Good. Good.
Welcome
wonderful.
To Dubuque.
Thank you. Thank you very
and
much.
And it's not just for Thanksgiving.
No, it's for every
it's
day.
It's every day.
It's for breakfast,
yeah.
too.
Used to be for more days, but anyway, we... how was
what,
it?
What? Oh, it's wonderful.
Mm. Now, another classic, would you want to call it a condiment?
Condiment.
It would be a potato chip on the sandwich.
On the sandwich. Okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do it right. I want to fit in so badly. And I always do. I fit in really badly wherever I am. Okay, I put that. You put it on there like Elvis used to eat sandwiches.
Perfect.
Like this. Elvis ate a potato chip sandwich. You know that potato chip?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
A banana and
yeah.
peanut butter.
And potato chips.
Huh. No turkey and dressing, though.
Sounds good. Okay.
Still
go ahead
be alive.
What is the history of the turkey and dressing sandwich? I think it's only here, isn't it?
I mean, it's kind of like some of the stories you've heard. There can't be completely documented, but I mean, you have to think about it. It's a simple concept. It's leftover dressing. Mm-hmm. Not this. Leftover.
This is not leftover.
Another show it was, yeah. And then leftover turkey. And then you combined it together. You put it on a bun.
Yeah.
And you serve it later that night, the next day.
Okay, I mean, I can understand how that might happen.
Sure.
But how did it happen? I mean, can you take us to the moment in history when the turkey
I
and dressing...
I can tell you there's a woman quite famous in Dubuque who supposedly created it. Now, how could you give it just one person have created it? But Helen Timmerman.
Possible.
And there's a Timmerman Supper Club up on
Helen Timmerman?
East Dubuque.
Yeah.
She supposedly created it. I've also heard that it happened in the lobby of the Canfield Hotel.
What happened? Oh, they're still talking about the sandwich?
You tell me, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought you heard about something.
She was famous.
I was
going to
deny
famous,
it, actually, because I don't know.
Well, I don't remember
the incident.
We often get asked, or I get asked, did we create it? And we did not.
Yes, because Kramer's is probably associated with this more than any place in the world.
Yes, thankfully, yes.
Is it a long, drawn-out process? I mean, because this is like pulled turkey.
You didn't let me give you the second part of, we didn't create it.
Oh, okay.
We perfected it.
Okay. Sorry.
But it is a long, drawn-out process, and that's why today we probably sell more than anybody ever does. I never tell anybody that ours is as good as your mother's, your grandmother's.
Mother never made this.
Well, your mother didn't come from Dubuque.
No. You can say that again.
Yeah.
Or was that an insult or what?
No. No, not at all,
okay.
I don't think.
Okay.
But ours is certainly, we certainly sell more than your mother or your grandmother or anyone else would, so.
Just forget my mother for a minute, will you?
Yeah, sorry. Or anybody else's mother.
Mm. And your dressing is really good, too.
That's the key.
Yeah.
Anyone can add turkey to their dressing, but if you don't have good dressing, then you're like everybody else.
Who is your dressing specialist?
I would have to be. I'd give my grandmother the credit.
Hmm.
And that my uncle is really... the driving force. My grandfather and my uncle started the store in 1948, and many years later, they were doing this for a church function, Sacred Heart, where Andy
Sacred
went.
Sacred Heart.
Where Andy went to. Andy went to grade school.
Did you go to Sacred Heart too?
I've been to Sacred Heart. but they needed a fundraiser. And turkey and dressing was being done in Dubuque.
Yeah, but, to death.
Most of it,
yeah.
and to life.
Turkey and dressing, yeah. Okay, take one, John. Go ahead.
Sorry.
Get on with your life.
So they did it as the fundraiser, and people were asking for it. And at that point, they decided to put it in an aluminum pan, cover it with foil, and then you'd come and pick it up. And now we sell it every day.
Yeah.
7 days a week.
Year-round?
Year-round,
every day.
It really was probably a seasonal thing, probably 20 years ago, 25 years ago. But now, you know, it's for weddings, communions, Anything, any party.
And Kramer's.
Any party you're going to have beer at.
And we should mention Kramer's for all your meat needs.
All, yeah, we sell meat also. Yeah. And we'll ship it anywhere in the country.
We'll ship it. We'll do it all. Jeff Kramer, thank you very much. From Kramer's, famous.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, Producer International. Next week, we're back on stage at Monona Terrace in Madison. Our thanks to Chris Martz of Northern Iowa University. And thanks also to Rod Bakke.
Our next live shows in Madison are September 22nd and September 29th at Monona Terrace. Tickets at notmuch.com or by calling 608-262-2201. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, Producer International. Adam Friedrich, Producer, with assistance from Michelle Good, Lyle Anderson, and Diana Cook. Technical Director Tom Blaine with help from Aubrey Ralph and Brad Kohlberg.
PRI, Public Radio International.